What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Believe in Falcons. I am your host, Will McFadden, joined, as always, by former Falcons fullback, Ovi Mahaley. Ovi, how was your week, dude?
Week was good, my friend. Week was good. I mean, Thanksgiving turkey leftovers was amazing, and having daily turkey comas was probably the best thing for my productivity. But I enjoy the fam being in town and, you know, just getting back into it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what makes, in my opinion, Thanksgiving the best holiday. It really is with Christmas, there's so much, I don't know, it seems stressful. Yeah, at times as well. You've got all the Christmas shopping you've got to do beforehand. Then, like, Christmas, for some reason, it's all the in-laws. Like, everybody wants to go see.
Jesus.
Let's go see the family, the side of the family we never see or talk about for the other 364 days of the year. But on around Christmas, you got to go get together with them. With Thanksgiving, it's kind of like, outside of the cooking, which if you're with a big enough group, generally everybody pitches in anyway, and it's not like a daunting task. No, you just eat food. And then you chill
and watch TV.
Or you do whatever. So I agree with you. And then you get leftovers for the next week. So before we get into today, I got to ask, are you a Beatles fan in any way, shape, or form?
No, I mean, I know some of their songs and I respect the greatness, but I'm not a diehard Beatles person. But I did want to see that one movie where the guy was supposed to be. Like, imagine the Beatles didn't have their songs and he came up with
songs. Yesterday.
Like, that's great. Yeah, Yesterday. I always wanted to see that. And I tell myself whenever it comes by, I'm like, I'm going to watch that. And I haven't for like years. But I'm going to watch it eventually.
Okay. Well, this is a somewhat of a tie-in. It's not necessarily a movie, although it's much longer than a movie. But Peter Jackson, director, Lord of the Rings trilogy, all that stuff, uncovered like 50 hours of Beatles recorded footage, audio footage. And it's like, it's on Disney Plus. It's an 8-hour documentary, a 3-part documentary. Wow. But you're just like sitting in a room with the Beatles for 22 days and like literally just their creative process. It's while they're creating their last album, Let It Be. And they've got like 22 days to basically create it and then perform it live. And yeah, it's fascinating so far. I'm only 2 of the 3 in, but it's really, really cool. So check it out if you're interested, listeners, if you guys are interested. It's on Disney Plus. And it is called The Beatles Get Back. So that's all the pop culture content we got for you today. We will get into this week's matchup between the 5-6 Atlanta Falcons and the 8-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers right after this. Today's podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet you didn't see that one coming. Well, Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the football and basketball action this season. So head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's half off, guys. That's a big deal. What are you doing? Don't just sit there. Use the promo code BELEAV50, BLEAV50, to receive that bonus. So what are you waiting for? Get started. Head over to BetOnline today because it is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline. Where the game starts. All right, Ovi, second meeting for these two teams. The first one did not go in the Falcons' favor, but it was close game into the fourth quarter until a couple of Matt Ryan pick sixes really proved to be the deciding factor. The Bucs since then went on to be exactly what we thought they would be. They're first place in the division. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. They're coming off of 2 wins. Big picture, just where are the Falcons since we last saw them, and where are the Bucs in your opinion?
Well, the Bucs, you know, have some injuries, but like you mentioned, they're where we thought they would be. They're a team that unfortunately hasn't forgotten how to be or play at a championship level. They remember exactly what it is to be the defending champs. And realize even with slow starts, even with injuries, even with having to have the backups play, it's that culture, it's that fire, it's that special sauce Tom Brady brings to a team that he brought last year that is teaching the Bucs how to make yourself a perennial, consistent winner. And it's about the mentality, it's about the practices, it's about, you know, the belief, and it's just about the preparation. And Tom Brady is so good, again, as you saw with the Patriots, to raise the level of play of all the players on the team, including the defense, including the special teams. And it's absolutely amazing. And that's why I can't wait till he retires, because Matt Ryan is going to have a long, long, you know, wait to potentially get a Super Bowl, you know, at year 40 until Tom Brady retires. Because with the super team he has in Tampa, everyone coming back, it's going to be very difficult. And this game, I spoke to you a little bit before we got on the air. We do have the always looming element of it's a division game. Anything can happen. And, you know, when guys play each other and they have a familiarity, you know, we can see upsets. So we can see players, you know, play out of their mind. We can see other players get comfortable, and the right mix can make lightning strike to where we get a fumble. We catch an interception. You know, we're able to tip a ball, and who knows? We're making this competitive and anything can happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, there always is the possibility. And on the Falcons side, so far as the state of the union, we're a team that we can't fix our bad cap situation. We can't fix our terrible defense. We can't fix our pass rush or lack of pressure. We can't fix that in 1 year. And the fact that we're even in a conversation for the playoffs is a semi plus. I mean, you as difficult it is, it's been to watch the season, you got to be impressed with the fact that we're actually semi-relevant in December. But outside of that, we have so many problems, so many issues. We don't have a chance to really produce offense unless Cordarrelle Patterson is playing every position on the offensive side of the ball. And Kyle Pitts, you know, if we can get back to being Kyle Pitts, we can go and put way too much pressure on him like we have been doing this whole season to make plays. So we're in a position where I think go out there, give our best shot. We talked about this before. I'm not about tanking for any player. I think, you know, finding ways to win is going to be good. But with the journeymen and, you know, some of these young guys who are with the team, shoot, who knows if this team even looks the same next year?
I don't think it will. But I want to just dispel with the whole notion of tanking right now. Like, you're 5-6 with six games to go.
Yeah. This isn't
your 2-9 with five games to go. Like, that's that's a very different place to be. You are one game out of a playoff spot as things stand right now. You're like half a game out. So I did the research, guys. If you want to do it yourselves, feel free. Be my guest. It's not worth it, let me tell you. But at the end of 1 year, I went back and asked myself kind of this very question. Is it better for teams historically to end the year on a hot streak, which I categorized as three or more wins, or is it better to get a higher draft pick? You know, is it better for those teams to have lost games down the stretch to improve their draft standing? It all comes out in the wash, guys. Yeah. Like, teams change so much year to year, and the draft is such a crapshoot, which is why you see teams think that they're smarter than everybody else and they stockpile all these picks because they're like, well, it's a crapshoot. We need as many bullets in the chamber as possible. Even that doesn't really work out.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no real difference or tangible difference historically between picking like sixth and picking 14th. You, like, your chances of getting an impact guy are pretty much equal there. Even though it sounds like at number six in the pre-draft process, you're talking about bigger name players.
Yeah.
Post-draft, that doesn't matter. Like, we're talking about prospects at the end of the day. When they become players, a lot of times the higher picks don't necessarily pan out more than the later. I mean, Calvin Ridley, perfect example. I know he's not out there right now, but very end of the first round is when you got somebody who has been your biggest impact on offense really over the past 2 years, I would say. So I think that going back to this game against Tampa Bay, what has always made the Patriots team so good and what is making this Tampa Bay team so good is they're one of the most versatile teams in the NFL. They can win pretty much in any way they want to win, whether it's the first game against us when Tom Brady threw for five touchdowns and nearly had a 130 quarterback rating, which is virtually perfect. Or it's this past week when the running backs accounted for 5 touchdowns against the Indianapolis Colts. Tampa Bay is comfortable winning however you ask them to win games. Teams try to make other teams play left-handed, and Tampa Bay is damn near as ambidextrous in this league as you can get. So that is going to be, I think, the key for Atlanta, is being as multiple on defense and disguising things as possible. But if you have to pick the poison, I think first and foremost, you're going to stop number 12. You're going to stop Tom Brady. I mean, he, if you can, but that's the guy that you try to get after. The Falcons still have the worst pass rush in the league, according to Pressure Rate.
Only every Grady Jerry. Freaking year, dude. Every gosh dang year. Like, it just, it pains me to even say that. And again, I know the cap situation, but I'm like, how the F you get this wrong every single freaking year? Like, how do you go from the Vic Beasleys and the Tack McKinleys and, you know, the Dante? You just get a good pass rusher, pay him whatever the heck he wants, and find a way to not be last every year. Because that is just annoying to me. And I'm not GM. I know it's much more complicated, difficult than just pick somebody. But damn it, pick somebody who has the skills.
I think that they need to go back and go the John Abraham route again. And just pay a guy. You know, pay one of the top guys who you expect to come in here and just pick it right back up. I think the Ray Edwards thing kind of maybe scared Tom. I don't want to put words in his mouth, and this is all speculation, but ever since then, the Falcons never really went after another big-name free agent pass rusher.
Abraham wasn't drafted. He came from the Jets, right?
He came from the Jets, but he was already a proven young guy at that. It'd be like somebody going out to get like Brian Burns right now, or Josh Allen in Jacksonville. It was kind of what I think the Falcons hoped to get maybe with Dante Fowler, but at least up until that point, John Abraham had been producing like a Pro Bowl player consistently, so you kind of knew what you were going to get. Same with Alex Mack. Like, that type of move, they need to go get again. But they've been trying to get it through the draft, and we'll see what Terry Fontenot does. The biggest difference for me with Atlanta in this game, and I'm really curious to see how this all plays into the Tom Brady of it all, I think Dean Pease is finally starting to trust his players to execute his vision on defense, especially some of these younger guys who are starting to see get some more playing time, like a Richie Grant, like Darren Hall. But even the linebackers that have been around, Deion Jones, Foye, like, we're starting to see him utilize the blitzes that he said he was going to at the beginning of the year. I don't think in week 2 they necessarily had the biggest blitz package on defense. At that point, you're still installing a lot of your basic stuff. So if there is one side of the ball that I would give maybe a little bit of an edge because I've liked the way that they've developed throughout the season, it would be Atlanta's defense.
All right. No, I mean, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. I just know that with what we're doing with our defense, talk about Foye and Deion being the heartbeat of the side of the ball, I just feel like we just don't have enough talent to be able to make Dean Pease's defense work. Because he's worked with, he hasn't worked with all world beaters before, but he's worked with more talent in almost every situation he's been in than here. So I don't know if his defense works if the players can't play up to a certain level. Like, you got to be this high to ride this ride. You got to be this good to make Dean Pease's defense work. And we're not there. And that's part of the reason why, as, gimmicky or as skilled as he is to try to get the people in the backfield, we just can't get to the quarterback. And with Tom Brady having all dang day to throw, it's like, why even show up to the game? Because you're going to lose. You know that if we're not getting pressure, we're not getting sacks, and Tom Brady is playing 7-on-7 football, Falcons fans can watch this on TV, because unless you want to just enjoy the drinks and the wonderful concessions, and they do have great concessions at Mercedes-Benz, stay home because you know the outcome.
I mean, that's fair. I guess don't turn the podcast off right now, though. We're going to get a little more positive, I promise.
I'm just being real. I'm just telling you because Crazier things have happened. We've seen Dante Fowler get hot. We've seen, you know, Grady find a way to do a great one-on-one and beat his man. You actually, you know, one-on-two, beat the double team and get to the quarterback. But for the most part, we just have, well, we haven't had the pressure because we haven't had the talent.
I agree with you. I believe that this game is going to probably not be the prettiest to watch, but there have been plenty of games where I thought the Falcons would be competitive. They came out and laid an egg. There have been plenty of games in the past where I thought it would be a complete blowout, and the Falcons came out and played up to their ability. Falcons did get a strip sack of Tom Brady in this first meeting. Dante Fowler made that happen. He's now back, had a sack last week. So who knows? I mean, maybe things are starting to round into shape defensively. AJ Terrell has been the bright spot on that side of the ball.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you know, we know Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, as great as they are, the Bucs have been getting it done lately really without them. I mean, I think they combined for like 40 yards last week, and they still won a 38-31 shutout. I mean, it's Gronkowski, who had two touchdowns against the Falcons in the first game, but he's on fire right now, and Tom Brady just looks like he's mind-melded with him once again. So Tampa, I mean, this is going to be really tough, but let's flip it over to the other side of the ball for Atlanta. Talk about their best player, because Cordarrelle Patterson had two touchdowns in this first meeting, but not a whole lot of yardage. I think they were still figuring out really what, you know, this was still a, we were going to give Cordarrelle Patterson 12 carries, we're going to give Mike Davis 12 carries type of game. Things have obviously changed since then. So what from an offensive perspective, what do you think is Atlanta's best plan of attack? Tampa's defense obviously is really good. They can get after you in a bunch of ways. They like to send a lot of pressure. Historically, like what can offenses do to beat pressure?
Well, one of the great things you can do that if you have the right personnel is the screen game, the short pass game. And Cordarrelle Patterson is perfect for that. Obviously being a receiver and a running back, and showing that he has that returner skill to have the burst, change of direction, the stop and start. It makes it, you know, the perfect go-to for the Falcons dealing with the Vita Veas of the world. I remember we were so excited about, well, not so excited, we were so intrigued at the matchup with big-ass Vita Vea after he picked up offensive linemen on other teams and sat them back in the quarterback's hands.
Did you see his tooth?
No.
Did you see his, I don't think he fully lost it, but he like chipped like half of his like eye tooth or the tooth right next to your front two teeth in last week's game. And cameras just like caught him just smiling, bleeding. Like he looked like, he looked exactly like it. A guy named Vita Vea who plays defensive tackle should.
He freaking loves it. He's like, get the blood smeared on his face, like tribal like war paint. Let's go. Like that's the type of guy he comes off as, like just like a freaking warrior, a monster. And surprisingly, we held our own against him, and he didn't embarrass us too bad when it came to just picking guys up with one hand each and throwing them at Matt Ryan. But still, our offense needs to find ways to get the ball Matt Tan quickly, to get it to Cordarrelle Patterson, because he is clearly the the heart and soul of our offensive production. And to try and get Kyle Pitts to wake up, not really wake up because they're going to double team him. They know he's our biggest threat, but help him realize that this is the life he's going to live. This is going to be standard. This is what all the greats, including, you know, an old guy named Julio Jones used to play for us a while back, who understood that when you are the best, you will be covered like the best and treated with that attention. And you still have to understand how to create pockets of space so that Matt can get you the ball comfortably. And I feel like he's thrown it into a potential interception scenario. So with Cordarrelle and Kyle Pitts, I think that's going to be our win. And you say that that's a lot for two guys. Those two guys have been the reason we've won the majority of the games we've won. And they're going to have to be the reasons we win the games that are coming in the future. If we're going to upset them, we need them to, you know, have a big game. But also all our role players, all the guys that no one's thinking is going to have a big game, you know, from Alameda Zacchaeus to Chazay Sharp to, you know, just the role players. Every now and then you see a role player have that star game. You're like, oh, shit, I didn't know he can do that. I didn't know he can really put, you know, the team on his back or have the bright lights there and make these one-handed catch or beat his man with such a great move, that's going to be the only way we have a chance. So for offense, unfortunately, Mike Davis, that experiment, and I think Mike Davis was great in the past. I was so excited for him to get here. But yeah, trying to be fair and even and give him an equal amount of touches, I think those days are over. Those days are gone. They realize who the workhorse is and who the playmaker is. So let's not try to be cute and, you know, and make everyone smile and give everyone a participation trophy. Let's just go with what works and try to win this game.
Don't beat around the bush, Falcons. Just go with your best guys. But if there is one reason for optimism with that approach, it's this. Kyle Pitts against Tampa in his second game, second NFL game.
Yeah,
he led the Falcons with 73 yards. So he did it the first time around. And yeah, I think, I mean, if there's one team that I could see saying to themselves, look, we've got the talent to match up with anybody. We love our guys against anybody. You know, Lavonte David, Devin White, Carlton Davis, Mike Edwards, who's going to be out for this game, and I'll get to that in 1 second. But we like our chances. Come get it. I could see them saying, until Kyle Pitts proves that we like that he's going to be a problem for us, we're locking him up one-on-one. You know, prove that we need to add an extra guy because we want to send that extra guy after Matt Ryan. And I think that this could be a game if the Falcons really want to get Kyle Pitts going. I think they're going to have their opportunities on Sunday. Now, the flip side of that is Matt's got to have the time to find Kyle Pitts because they are running some of, you know, I went back and rewatched the game and they ran some speed outs. They ran some like Matt takes the ball, immediately starts rolling out to his right. Kyle just kind of runs one of those where you're angling it in a little bit, but then quick turn and just like speed out towards the sideline. They looked out of sync, and Matt's comments in his press conference this week did, you know, as much as Matt is going to touch on any topic, he did talk about like kind of timing. He mainly pointed his finger back at himself, but it's something that I've been thinking in the back of my mind is the way we've seen Kyle Pitts used in this offense. And if you watch him on a play-to-play basis, there are opportunities there for him. It's just that when he seems to be open, Matt's looking elsewhere. And when Matt's looking his way, Kyle's not necessarily where he wants it to be. So I still think that there is just some disconnect right now between quarterback and player. And that's fine. I mean, again, Kyle Pitts, the rookie, it takes... Matt's as commanding and demanding as where he... Like, he'll walk up to Tony Gonzalez, who was already in the Hall of Fame at that point, and be like, Tony, I need you to be here. All right. And if he's going to say that to Tony and demand that of Tony Gonzalez, he's going to demand that of Kyle Pitts. And you're not getting the ball unless you're where he expects you to be, because we've seen in the past two games, two picks have been thrown on kind of miscommunications with Kyle Pitts. So that all being said, this week, I'm very bullish on Kyle Pitts. I think the Bucs are going to come in looking at Cordarrelle Patterson. And I think the Falcons are really going to want to reward Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, as a player, even though he's not getting the catches, even though he's not getting the yardage, he's a big part of their run game as well. When the run game has a big day, Kyle Pitts is usually that last guy setting the edge. And whether that means getting him to the boundary as quick as possible, so you give your running back kind of a last cutback lane if he can get to the edge, or sealing it off and letting him get to the outside of you, that's not easy. You know, Kyle Pitts didn't come in being known as a blocker. They're making him do kind of the dirty work. But now, to keep him satisfied, you gotta reward that a little bit. I think they're going to come in with a Kyle Pitts heavy game plan, sprinkle in some Cordarrelle Patterson. But I'm a little bit bullish on Atlanta's receiving attack in this game. Am I crazy?
You are crazy, but not because of this. You have your own issues that we'll discuss in a later day. But this is, I think, a strategy that the Falcons have to use. That they have to be, you have to be kind of bullish on Kyle Pitts, because he's the only superstar you have, or the only playmaker outside of Cordarrelle Patterson that can really give you a chance to win this game. And it just the problem with that, again, we know that. They probably know that too. You know, and so the theory that they have so much confidence in their defense that they're not going to double Kyle Pitts, I think, is a good one, because they're very, very, very confident over there, the Bucks. And like Kyle Pitts, Schmalpitz, I mean, he's good and he's the best on their team, but the best on their team is a rookie with only a 200 yard game. Like,
I don't know if I would double him either. Yeah. Honestly, if I'm a defense coordinator at this point, like what have you, maybe in the red zone, but like outside of that, what have you done?
Exactly. Like you have the threat of potentially maybe going off, but until you go off, we're good. So you're not crazy. I think you're not crazy in this aspect. I think that Kyle Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson need to go and, you know, have dinner for the night for the game and just trade secrets on how to carry this team on their back, and trade secrets about how to, you know, get the knee braces on or a back brace and put the whole team on both their backs, because it's going to be a lot of just attention thrown their way from the Falcons and the Bucks, because both sides know like this is the key to the Falcons either being productive on offense or not.
Unfortunately, I don't think Cordarrelle and Kyle are going to be going to have dinner at Calvin Ridley's house, because, you know, Calvin was a huge factor in this first game for Atlanta, usually has big games against the Bucks.
Yep.
But he remains out. We're supportive of that. The Bucks will be without Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards. It came out yesterday, you know, suspended 3 games. That's big. I mean, Antonio Brown is notably, like, if Atlanta's got probably a weakness in the secondary, it's still that slot issue. And Antonio Brown is one of the best slot receivers when he plays, still in the NFL. And Mike Edwards, I mentioned earlier, Matt Ryan's 2 pick sixes. Mike Edwards had both. So he was a playmaker and a huge factor in that first game. They'll be without both of those guys. So a little bit of a chance here for Atlanta's offense to maybe get something going. Tampa Bay has the best run defense in the NFL. So I don't think we're going to see a repeat of last week, but they're only 20th against the pass. So, you know, you got Matt Ryan on fantasy. I'm not telling you to start him, but maybe if you're desperate and need a Hail Mary play, there could be possibly some potential there, but maybe don't.
Antonio Brown was suspended because of the fake cards, right? The fake.
I haven't read fully into it, but yeah, I believe it has something to do with the vaccinations.
What a dummy. People are crazy. I just don't understand.
He should just bullshit it around like Aaron Rodgers did with it.
Here's the thing. Just do what a lot of players do and say, I didn't get the vaccination. If that's how you strongly feel and you have enough people who will support you in that decision, but trying to lie about it, create fake cards, and then lie about creating fake cards. I saw some of it. I didn't read the whole thing, but that's the case, that's just stupid.
It is, right? Yeah, because it's the team that matters. Like, if the team is supportive of you and understands the risk, that's a conversation between you and your employer. And then to lie to your employer, that puts that's disingenuous to your teammates, to every one of those guys in the locker room. That's disingenuous to it's just a bad look all the way around for
One of the bright spots is that the Falcons had 100%, according to them, 100% vaccination rate. So we don't have to deal with that craziness. We don't have anybody doing fake cards in Atlanta. So we're good. Hopefully we can channel that positive energy to help us win this darn game.
One last thing on this kind of first topic about the game before we move on quickly into some like rapid fire things. But last week, the Falcons rotated their centers, Matt Hennessy and Drew Dahlman, a couple of series in the game. I believe Arthur Smith said the plan was to kind of go like 2 and 2 series at a time back and forth. Afterwards, he was asked about it. And it's been like a fixation of the media, which I get. I understand. Like it's a new topic at this point in the season. And you've been asking about Cordarrelle Patterson all year long. You've been asking about AJ Terrell and all that. So yeah, it's just, when do we ever talk about the offensive line?
Never.
But they've been talking a lot about this kind of rotation and how it affects Matt Ryan, which is stupid. Matt Ryan is fine regardless of who's snapping him the football. But mainly Arthur Smith said it was a chance to really bring out competition between these two guys. And he felt it was the best chance for his team to win and that it brought kind of the best out of both of them while they were in the game. Is that real? I mean, how would you feel if you're a player and then kind of midway in a game when you're getting your feel, your coach says, all right, time for you to come out. We're putting somebody else in. Is that going to motivate you to play as well as possible when you're in the game? Or do you then start kind of getting in your head a little bit? Or, you know, take me through that as a player. Like, how would you feel?
As a player, I feel like it is what it is, because I've obviously put myself in this situation to where I haven't been dominant on the field, or I haven't been, you know, on my P's and Q's to the point where there isn't even a question as to whether I'm the best for this position.
You kind of get it.
Yeah. I've given my coaches and even my teammates doubt, and probably my quarterback doubt, that I can do this job at the highest level. Because I guarantee you, if Matt Ryan said, stop all this back and forth shit, like with these centers, that guy is the best. I've seen him in practice. I've seen him on film. I've worked with him. He's clearly the better center. I want him in there, period. If he made a strong case to the coach be like, Matt, it's your team.
Matt's been involved in all of these decisions. That's Arthur Smith has said, of course, we've consulted with Matt. This affects him. Matt said, look, both guys come in. They do a good job. I don't really have a preference one way or the other.
That's what he says to us, to do a good job. But both guys aren't doing a good job, because if they're doing a good job, or maybe they're doing a good job. Neither's doing a great job. That's the point. Neither's doing a great job to keep Matt safe, to communicate correctly, to run, pass block is what Matt cares about more. And yes, it'd be a little bit annoying, you know, during the game while you're trying to get in your flow and you're understanding the defense is moving and you really, you know, are lathered up, and then you get pulled for two series. You're like, oh, gosh, dang it, man. I was just like, then you're cold. You go back in there, you're cold and have to warm back up. That would be very difficult to cope with. But you do it because you have no other choice. And your goal is to do it for one, two games, as few games as possible, and make sure you leave an impression on Matt and the coaches and the other team that I can handle my stuff and I can, you know, be the player you want me to be. So I know it's a media story, but it's really a non-issue for players who understand that the only reason that they're doing this is because I didn't show up and show out like I was supposed to.
Yeah, I think that's exactly spot on. And Matt Hennessy had been kind of struggling against the pass rush the last couple of games, so that makes sense. And I commend Arthur Smith and his staff. Look, depth was maybe the number one issue with this team coming into the season. They're working at least to build some of that depth up. Drew Dahlman and Matt Hennessy are going to be a part of this team for the next 3 years. Yeah. They're rookies on kind of early parts of their rookie contract. So you got to get them into games. You got to figure this out. You got to get some of these young guys in on defense, into these games. Get them reps while you're still being competitive. These games matter. Get them some of these high leverage, stressful situations under their belt so that they understand when you really need to count on them in 2 years and they're part of hopefully like a good team. They're a core part of that team. They've seen it before. So I like what they're doing there. We don't need to make too much more out of it. So let's take one more quick break and then we will keep on going. Say goodbye to dull gifts. I think I will. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Ah, I see what they did there. You know, diamonds, dull, bright, these guys are on it. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find. And at a light price, too. I mean, $800 per carat. Not a big, carat expert myself, but there's that information for you. $800 per carat. So you may be asking, what is a lab-grown diamond? Well, they have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but they're just grown in a lab. Because of the process, they can create stones in a bluish pink or, you know, just a classic white, maybe just a good, beautiful blue. I'm a classic blue guy myself. So visit lightboxjewelry.com to add some sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox Diamonds. Never a dull moment. All right, so real quick, Ovi, I just want to get your thoughts on being a team that's going up against a team that is clearly so much better than you are. Like, knowing that, I think the Falcons understand where they are. Yes, they're 5-6, and they'll say they deserve to be there, that they've won a lot of close games, gritty. You know, they've clawed their way back, is what a lot of players have been saying. The Bucs have not had to do that. They have been sailing on smooth waters to an 8-3 record. They are very damn good. So in the locker room, I mean, what do you guys, Are you busy formulating your best plan of attack to knock down Goliath? Or do you guys just sit there and be like, man, we all better be bringing our A game to have a chance on Sunday and just kind of hoping that that happens? What happens there?
When you have a overwhelmingly a superior opponent, you have to focus on the details. That's where, you know, I know me as a player and on the teams I played with in Baltimore and with the Falcons, in Baltimore was less me saying it. It was more the, leaders like Ray Lewis and Deion Sanders and Ed Reed, and on the offensive side of the ball, Jonathan Ogden and my guy, Orlando Brown, Almighty Zeus, you know, rest in peace. Like watching those guys give us some of these talks, it wasn't too many times where we felt like it was David and Goliath when I was with Baltimore, because all these Hall of Famers I played with, they all felt like even if
you
we
guys were,
playing, were
Goliath,
yeah, even if we were playing against, you know, Tom Brady and the old school Patriots, we all felt like, you know, we are the team, despite our offense being able to, be at the high level at all times. Like defense aside, was always considered themselves superior. But when we had big games, they would make sure that every single man, because they knew how important it was for every single player to have that same mentality, focus on the details. You know, preparation is so key. Watching film is so important. Getting those extra, kinks worked out in practice is, the difference between winning and losing. So I do the same thing, and hopefully the Falcons are doing that same thing, where they say, yes, this is a huge opportunity and one where we're probably the only ones who think that we have a chance of winning. And hopefully they think they have a chance of winning, because that's key, my friend. William, I've been on teams where, you know, the players who are playing on the team are like, oh, we're going to lose this shit. We ain't winning this game. We have no chance. Like, ho. Yes, I know that, you know, Michael Vick's gone. We have Byron Leftwich as our quarterback, but you still got to come out on the field to win the game and believe you have to win the game until you actually lose it. Crazier things have happened. But if you're already saying you're going to lose, it was some of our offensive linemen, and some of them, they weren't there the next year. But I was just surprised because, again, coming from Baltimore, first year in Atlanta, and kind of seeing how the mental toughness was not as sharp with a team that, you know, was in a little bit of disarray. I was just like, wow. Rule number one, you play every game to win, and you believe you win every game. And they have to be able to, especially from the old guys to the young guys, get everyone on board with work on a fight, scratch, claw, just put your head down, drive your feet, keep on moving. And at the end of four quarters, you might be surprised what happens. So hopefully the Falcons have enough leadership on both sides of the ball to get that point across and not have any, you know, pre-assumed defeatism in their brains.
That's really well said, because that's exactly what I think Arthur Smith would be looking for right now. Like if I was a coach, this is your prove it game. You know, we've earned everything we've gotten. We've gotten ourselves to this spot, which in week two, we didn't know what the hell we had. No team does. It's week two. Yeah. No team knows what they are. But now you do. Now you've been able to actually win some games. You've gotten your ass handed to you as well. Yep. But this is your next chance to take on a good team. Let's see how far we've come over the last month. And this is your next opportunity. So really spot on. This is a game that will test your mental toughness. You're doing it at home, which for the Falcons actually isn't too much of a help there. But
we still have one at home, Willie. We have not won a game at home. It's December.
Well, and that's, London is our new home.
London
apparently
does not count. I'm sorry. We all know London's not a home game. So in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we have not won a game. And that is something that as a Falcons fan, or I'm not a season ticket holder, but for the season ticket holders, they got to be salty about that. I mean, I know this is the first year of Arthur Smith, but if you're going to win, have one of those wins at home so I can drive home happy and you know, have some happy drinks, not some angry drinks at the end of the game, because, you know, win or lose, the fans are going to booze, but you'd rather have those happy drinks.
The Tottenham Falcons are, or Tottenham. The Tottenham Falcons, sorry, all of our English listeners to butcher that like a dumb American. Stupid. Now, the Tottenham Falcons are 1-0. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, Final thoughts and predictions. Rapid fire here. Who needs to have a big game on Sunday for the Falcons to win?
Kyle Pitts does. Cordarrelle Patterson already showed that he could have the big game. Kyle Pitts needs to get back to his 100-yard game days.
All right. I'm going to stick on offense. I'll say Matt Ryan. You know, I think if the, because load up Kyle Pitts, I think Matt's got to trust Kyle. But even if he doesn't, like, why draft a dude with a 7-foot wingspan if you're not going to kind of like test the limits? Right? Like, why drive a sports car if you're not going to go over 100?
The whole being in the third or fourth quarter and having zero throws even going his way can't happen again. Like, that's silly. Yeah. At least I know, I don't want to force the ball to him. You're going to have to kind of force the ball to him because he's going to be double covered. Maybe, maybe not. But he has to have, you know, attempts or opportunities. He can't catch balls that aren't thrown to him.
The ball thrown to Julio in the Super Bowl, that was a forced ball. Yep. You know, Matt put it right where only Julio could get it or it's going out of bounds. But I don't know if Matt, if 2021 version of Matt makes that throw even in a week four game to Kyle Pitts. Like, I just, but let's keep going. can the Falcons generate enough offense in this game to win?
They're going to have to, because the defense is not going to stop a nosebleed. And so Tom Brady's going to score as many points as he wants to score. So if we can't keep up, then it's definitely going to be a loss.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't think they can. Just looking back at it, it has kind of been offense that's been the Achilles heel a little bit for Atlanta this year. But in the first game, they were able to get back into it offensively. So who knows? Will the Falcons be able to affect Tom Brady with their pass rush on Sunday?
Hell nah. Absolutely not. It's not going to happen. As much as I want to wish it into existence, no, it's not going to happen. And Tom Brady's going to have all the time he needs. Hopefully one of our defensive backs who have not been having the best year can surprise us with an interception, but we're not getting to him this game.
I don't think it'll be with their front four, but I think they'll be able to get him off his spot once or twice in this game, which that's better than most. all right, Ovi, last thing, final prediction for Sunday.
Final prediction for Sunday, I think it's going to be 35-7 Bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to be mean, but I also have learned that using my Homer background to try and wish and will the Falcons to be competitive does not work. And you have to sometimes, you know, look at it for what it is. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars, we had a bump. Like, it was positive, but I've also been watching the Bucs play, and they're not playing around with this championship run back-to-back thing. So I think it's going to be a 35-7 loss, and I don't want to be right, but unfortunately, I think I'm going to be. How about you? What do you think?
Damn, Ovi. Wow. I love it. Yeah. I love the pessimism. We've finally broken you.
You have. I've been broken for a while. I'm finally showing it.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
It's after a win, too. You think after a win, I'm more optimistic.
Well, I think a win against Jacksonville, like, for you is almost worse than like a close loss against Green Bay or something.
Yeah. I know we're not supposed to look at the team. A win is a win in the NFL. That's true. But you're not impressing me, you know, by beating a team that's only won a handful of games and against other bad opponents.
I don't think that the Falcons need to necessarily win this game. I mean, obviously that's the goal, but a close loss or a competitive loss to me would actually, they don't matter at the end of the day, but it matters in context. And I think the context here would make me feel a little bit better about the stretch run. I think it's going to be 32-24. And I think the Bucks kind of get that last touchdown in kind of the fourth quarter, you know, move down the field. Falcons get it with only a little bit of time left. Can't really make some, but like one of those games, and the Bucks find a way to get it done in the same way the Falcons have. So far this season, I mean, I didn't mention Falcons are 5-2 in one score games since they faced Tampa in week two. So they've built a little bit of an identity now that's against bad teams. Let's see if they can do it against a good team, one of the best in the league. So 24, yeah. And you said 35-7.
I'll go 35-10. They'll get a field goal.
No. Don't hedge it. Don't hedge it. 35-7 is great. Okay. I love it. And let's say that touchdown's like a defensive touchdown or something too.
It might have to be. We'll see.
All right. You got anything else before we get out of here?
No, my friend. I've been really excited about the Apple TV Plus Invasion series. I love any post-apocalyptic, end-of-the-world, you know, type of thing. I love that stuff. And Invasion is so good. And they're going nice. A little bit far with not showing us too much of the monster or the alien, but the storylines are impeccable. Like, it was Stephen King or there's someone else. Like, there's a big producer or was like saying, like, I don't know where Invasion's going, but I love it. I'm like, exactly. I don't know where this thing's going. They're following like 3 or 4 or 5 storylines, and it is just, it's must-see TV. Like, I get my popcorn, I sit in my bed, and I get all excited to watch every new episode that comes out. So if you're not watching on Apple TV Plus, it's going to be one of the highlights of your week, I promise.
All right. I'll have to check that out. That sounds pretty cool. So Apple TV Plus.
Yes, sir. Nice.
Well, this is Believe in Falcons Plus. Today's episode was presented by Bet Online. And thank you guys so much for listening. Please let everybody know where they can find us for the stretch run of this season and beyond. Follow us on Twitter at Will McFadden, at OviumHaley34. And again, thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope Falcons get a surprising win on yes. Sunday, and Ovi and I can be in a good mood for you guys. You'll hear us again Monday morning. As always, take care.